All right, praise the Lord on this, I guess this will be the last Sunday of March, March the 27th, Lord's Day Sunday morning. Beautiful day outside. I couldn't believe a big old frost on this morning. But you know, Lord, He's in charge of climate change. He knows when we need the cold. He knows when we need the warm. He promised to send what we need. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. He knows when to water the flowers. He knows when to feed the animals. He knows when they need a drink. He knows it all.
Yeah.
I mean, his understanding is infinite, and he winks at the wisdom of this world. I know men don't think they've accomplished it all, got smarter than anybody else, and they think knowledge is such a great thing, but God winks at the wisdom of this world and commands men all over to repent. And smart men do repent. I wasn't too smart for 34 years, but I was smart enough to repent 34 years ago.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that I did.
That's right.
That was the best thing I guess I've ever done in my life. I was talking to my wife this morning, and she's got some family members that's got some serious problems. They either got married too young, or they didn't consider their great need of God in their marriage, and they got a divorce. And it's a crippling divorce because of the children, because of the alimony. And I was telling my wife this morning that it would have been good if they'd got some counseling.
Yes.
Instead of just giving up. And I was telling her, I said, I thank God that you know, we didn't give up. I finally got enough Bible under my belt, got enough. The Bible says the Word of God, it's a counselor. And God, He's a mighty counselor.
Yes,
and He
right.
really helped this stubborn man, helped him to find out that he wasn't nothing but dirt, helped him find out his great need of God. And you know what? I've been able to be a pretty good husband, a pretty good father, since that took place. But this young married couple, they're on rocky road right now, just really bad, just really straining the parents, straining the children, and they're really going through it. And I'm glad, praise God, God didn't give up on me. I just say that for the sake of those out there that don't understand.
Yes.
Our great need of God is greater than we'll ever understand.
Yeah,
yes,
right. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to be a Sunday school lesson. Be starting in verse 23. We stopped at verse 22 last week. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed that Sunday school lesson.
Yeah.
A lot of people, 20-some people, visited that Sunday school lesson. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day You've given
yes.
us.
Yes, Lord.
And the privilege, Lord, to be in Your house today. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that the bombs are not falling here in America. But Lord, we want to remember those in Ukraine, Lord, that are seeking shelter. Lord, You're the only refuge that I know that, Lord, is a safe shelter. Underneath the shadow of the Almighty, we can abide safely. And I pray for those people in Ukraine. And I pray, Lord, for those that are doing the bombing, as well as those being bombed. Lord, I just pray, God, You'll help in that matter. And, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for this blessed country You allowed us to be born in, Lord, to grow up in, and
yes.
to enjoy, Lord, the milk and honey of this great country, Lord, called America, land of the free, home of the brave. Lord, help America, I pray, to find its way back to the Word of God, to the Lord, to the things of God. It just seemed like America, Lord, has got bigger than God. And I pray for America, Lord, it might see itself in the mirror of God's Word and realize its great need of the help of God. Lord, we just pray You'll bless our efforts this morning. Help us, Lord, to have an ear for the Word of God, to have a heart, Lord, to receive and understand it. And Lord, we just pray You'll bless us and help us in Jesus' name. We want to pray real quick, Lord, for the family. Lord, Pat, I think it was Pat Kinslow, I think.
Wessel.
Pat Wilson, Lord, that family, Lord, having her funeral today. We pray for them. I pray for Carol. Lord, she sent word to us having to take her dad to the emergency room. Lord, his sugar up, his kidneys is messing up. We pray, Lord, for Carol. We pray, Lord, for Pat's family. We pray, dear Father, Lord, for
Brenda Goth,
her back hurting her, Lord, and many, many others. Lord, we're starting our Sunday night service today. We're praying, Lord, you'll help us, Lord, to get off not just to a good start, Lord, but, Lord, to a great beginning of our Sunday night services. Lord, we got our revival coming the first week of May. And, Lord, as a preacher and as a pastor, I realize we need revival. And we just pray, God, you'll send a mighty revival. Pray you'll give Brother Charles liberty. Give him the anointing of God. Give him the discernment of God. May he, I pray, be in obedience, Lord, to your Holy Spirit, to your will. And Lord, may we, I pray, draw nigh to you, draw up close to you, sup with you, and enjoy the things of God, their Father, in that revival. Bless the singing and the preaching. And in Jesus' name, we'll thank you for whatever you do. We'll ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we stopped at verse 22. And the reason I stopped at that verse is it's kind of a transitional verse. Paul's been speaking about the Jews and how God broke them off. You know, they wouldn't have nothing to do with that Jesus. They said, we have no other king but Caesar. They said, away with him. Away with him. Give us Barabbas. And it says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. I plan on continuing.
That's right.
And you know, I know everybody's not Brother Eddie. But I'll tell you what, if you'll spend enough time in the Word of God, you'll be just like me. You'll find out that God loves you. You'll find out how undeserving you are of God's love. And it'll humble you and it'll help you. And you won't have to worry about continuing if you stay in the Word of God. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 8, verse 31, he said, if you be my disciples, he said, continue ye in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That continuing is important. How we need to continue. Good to see Brother Brenda here this morning. Bless her heart. I know she don't feel good, but I'm glad that she made the choice to come on anyway. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John 8, 31 and 32. But that continual is important. When I stray from things I need to continue to do, I get stale. I don't like being stale.
That's right.
I'd rather be stirred. Peter said, I think it meant, brethren, while I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by way of remembrance. I need to be reminded. I need to be continuing.
Yes.
Well, let's get our lesson this morning. Verse 23, and they also, do you notice they're still included? If they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. I hear people, I'm in Romans chapter 11, verse 23, Sister Brenda. I hear people all the time, and they'll say, but you don't know what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't fit in. The roof will fall in, everything. Well, this verse says, and they also, that's all. If they abide not still in unbelief, have enough faith to come, give God a chance.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Right.
I'll give you a good example of this.
See, what people don't understand, that God knows what they've done.
Yeah.
And as soon as they ask Him to come into their life, He doesn't remember it anymore either.
You're right.
You know?
You're right,
it's
brother.
Really, really simple.
Said their sins and iniquities, He said He remembered no more against them. And God's good about forgiving and good about forgetting. And I'm glad. There's some things I wished I could forget. But I worked with a man. I won't give his name. I don't think he would care. But anyway, I worked with a man. And when I got saved, I kind of got overboard. I'm reading my Bible in the break room in there. And that had kind of an adverse effect. A lot of people come in, they were offended by someone reading their Bible in the break room, and they'd go to, we had three break rooms. They didn't go to the cafeteria or go outside to the smoking break room. I was in the, I guess we had four counting the cafeteria. They had the smoking area, they used it for a break room. And then they had the front break room, the middle break room, and then the cafeteria. But I'm in the small break room there. And I'm reading my Bible, and some people would come in and see me at that Bible, and they'd just turn around and walk back out. Some of them would come on in there. But anyway, this guy, he come in. There wasn't nobody in there. And he opened up to me, and he said, I'd like to get saved. I said, well, that's what you need to do. And he said, well, I want to share something with you. He said, God used to deal with me, and I just kept resisting. He said, now God don't deal with me no more. He said, what do you think I need to do?
Wow.
And I told him this. I said, well, God has already showed you that He's interested in your soul.
Right.
I think if I were you, I'd show Him that you're interested in your soul. And I said, I'd pick up where he left off, get back in church, end up getting saved. But I'm just telling that because a lot of people, they just don't put forth no effort at all. He should have went while God was dealing with him. I mean, God told us His Spirit doesn't always strive with man.
Right.
And on the other hand of that, I've heard the other side about as bad, where people have been given a reprobate mind and they can't even receive the things of God or the presence of God. They're alienated from the things of God. But he did. He gave earnest effort into seeking God and got saved and still saved today. I see him every now and then. But this verse says, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief. Sometimes your problems are your own doing.
Yep.
Sometimes you are the problem.
True.
Sometimes you just need to say, okay, God, I'm ready to listen.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do anything you want me to do. Sometimes what I'm trying to say is, we are the problem. That's hard to admit, too.
Yeah.
And he says, they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. God is able to do anything except one thing, and that's lie. And I'm glad that it's impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
Verse 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature. That was me before I got saved. Mm-hmm. I was wild by nature.
Yeah.
And I was unpredictable. Even I didn't know what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I was dangerous.
Lord, yes.
Just wild by nature. And notice here, we're grafted contrary to nature. I mean, I wasn't really a candidate to receive the Lord. Kind of like the man writing this epistle here. Before he was Paul, he was Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He was persecuting churches and Christians and consenting to their death. And he was a murderer and a blasphemer, and he was wild by nature.
Yeah.
But he got grafted in, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree. I always want you to know I'm in a good olive tree.
Right. Amen. True.
How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive trees? See, Israel was cut off. God, that was His chosen people, but they wanted nothing to do with Him. We get like that every now and then. My wife, she needs her space every now and then. Sometimes I need mine. But even concerning God, there are sometimes, you know, we don't want to be around God. We want to be by ourselves, have a little pity party, all that stuff. But Israel was God's chosen people, and they made choices opposite to God. When they wanted their first king, God told Samuel to let them have that king. He said, they've not rejected you, they rejected me.
Yeah.
And that's the way, you know, it goes sometimes. But God never gave up and still has never given up on Israel. They're just learning the hard way that they made a bad choice. And He says, the natural branches will be grafted into their own olive tree. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Now, when he mentioned this word mystery, there's a lot of mysteries in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And Paul, he proclaimed about, I think, seven mysteries. And anyway, this mystery here concerning Israel is, it looks like, you know, that God's given up on them, but they're still included in the plan of God. And He still got, you know, peace reserved for them and forgiveness. You remember Joseph, the best illustration of God and Israel is like Joseph. His brethren sold him.
Yeah.
And, you know, they sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And, you know, Joseph got... He went through a lot of suffering, a lot of hardship, but he got put in position second to Pharaoh. And then the famine came, and here come his brothers needing something to eat.
Yeah.
And they didn't recognize Joseph. And he still loved them. He recognized them. He gave them not only the food, gave them the money back, scared them to death.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that pictures Jesus and Israel. When He made Himself known to His brethren, they wept, He wept, all of Egypt was aware of what was going on just from the weeping, and they said, you know, Joseph has made Himself known to His brethren. Well, that's kind of like this mystery right here. Right now, Israel doesn't understand that God still has them in His plan, that He still loves them. The world wants to kill them. They've got what they call this anti-Semitism or something like that.
Yeah.
The world wants to kill the Jews, but we'll go. I got a note or two on this. Let me get to my notes here. Where did I put them at? I may not have brought them. I thought I put them on the back of that. I may have to wing it. I did make some notes this morning, but the reason I did was because, you know, by the Jews is where we got the Word of God.
Right.
By the Jews is where we got our Messiah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did with them notes. Let's see if they're on this end. You know, they were part of the plan of God all along. But in this mystery, He said, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God's got this all in His plan, that even though they rejected Him, He has not rejected them. They're just in blindness right now. They can't see you know, their situation right now. They will, but they can't right now. Verse 26, it says, and so all Israel shall be saved. You see, God has them included in His plans.
Right.
As it's written, there shall come out a sign the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob, which is Israel, when he wrestled with the angel asked him what his name was. The name Jacob means deceiver. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And that name means prince. And God changed his name to Israel. And Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. And he was chosen for a fourfold mission. To witness the unity of God in the midst of universal idolatry. You see, this world, they want to worship something. They don't know what, but they're going to worship something. And even the atheist worship something. Even the agnostic worship something. It might just be their self, but they worship something. We have in our heart a desire or a need to acknowledge some kind of deity. And Jacob was chosen to witness the unity of God in the midst of universal idolatry. Everywhere Jacob went, God blessed him and God helped him. And the world took note of that blessing and of that help, and it made him a witness to the world of God. And second, to illustrate to the nations the blessedness of serving the true God. Now, you can worship anything you want.
That's true. Yeah.
But if you're worshiping the true God, then He'll bless you for it, and He'll bless you all that you have. But also through Israel, to receive, preserve, and transmit the Scriptures. That's how we got the Word of God.
Amen.
And to produce, as to humanity, the Messiah.
Right.
Jesus, seed of David, which goes back to Israel through Abraham. We see all of this coming to be, I think, is just a long lineage. But Jacob's in that lineage all the way to Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes. So God is going to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant, verse 27, unto them. God's a covenant God.
Yeah.
And He keeps His covenant. Man, we're the covenant breaking as bunch I've ever seen in my life. God keeps His covenants, and He keeps His promises. And He says, when I shall take away their sins. And God also is the only one that can take away sin.
Yes.
I had a sin problem. And I still got a sin problem. And my wife, one day, and I love my wife, I'm not trying to be sarcastic here, but her being married to me 47 years, she's probably got a different perspective of any way than y'all do. But she said this one day. She said, I'm not like you. I don't sin. And, you know, I couldn't deny the charge. But she was also included in that. And you find that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8.
Yeah.
It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. I'll just say this about sin. I'm glad God can take away sins.
Yes. Woo. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
As far as the east is from the west, He can put away our sins. I'm going to a land one day where there'll be no more sin, but down here, I dwell a bunch of ungodly, sinful people, including me. And we're bombarded every day by some kind of attack by the devil, some kind of temptation. And God's going to take away their sins, our sins. Mine's on the blood right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And praise God that they are. Like Brother Ed said, they're on the blood, never remember no more against me.
Right.
But I still have...
Old devil still throws it up to us.
Yeah, I still have sin to deal with.
Yeah.
Paul, even in this, I believe it's Romans chapter 7, he said in Romans chapter 7, talking about the two natures of us, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not, that which I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do.
Yeah.
He said, if I then do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it's good. Now it's no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Right.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, but to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now here's real simple right here. For the good that I would, I do not. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 7.
Yeah.
But the evil which I would not, that I do. That's the battle that we have to die every day to ourselves, that the devil can't get the advantage over us. Because I'm telling you, if we was crucified with Christ, the battle wouldn't be as bad. Verse 20. Now if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I then find the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
Right.
And I want to go on down to verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?
Yeah.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And that's where we get the victory. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Thank God he's going to take away the sins. Verse 27
That's right.
Is the reason I went on that rabbit chase. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. You know, I received the gospel and I got saved April 27th, 1988. Next year is my anniversary, my 34-year anniversary. I'm looking forward to that. But I received the gospel, and Paul here talking about the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. They'll kill you. I mean, Paul put Christians to death because of the gospel.
Yes.
And the Jews... God describes them, come not nigh to me, I'm holier than thou. The gospel message is that I can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to me. Not that I'm righteous, but I have His righteousness imputed to me, and that allows me to be accepted in the sight of God. But they can't receive that message because they said, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. And that blindness causes them to be enemies of the gospel. I've met a lot of people that were so full of themselves there wasn't no room for nothing else. And Jewish people are kind of like that. They can't receive the gospel because they don't see their need of the gospel. I'm not trying to be critical here. Just the way Paul's writing this here, he says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, verse 29. Verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. In other words, I got in because they rejected their Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
That allowed me to get in. And I believed on Jesus to forgive me, to save me, to keep me, to protect me, all of that. But I didn't believe before, but I believed after I got saved. Well, I believed to get saved, and after I got saved, I've been believing on Him ever since.
That's right.
Amen. It said... Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. See, we're a witness. And I don't care how contrary someone is to the gospel, they need a witness.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that a true witness delivers souls. Now, one of the worst witnesses you can be is a false witness. To be a hypocritical witness.
Right.
Look, I wouldn't even put forth no effort to be a witness if you're not going to be a true witness. Being real. One thing stands out in my mind about being real was that the fact of that day, I mean, I hadn't been saved very long at all and having a bad day and hit the press with a hammer and took the Lord's name in vain. That happened before I even thought about it even coming out. A little bit of that old man resurrected there.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what, my actions after I took the Lord's name in vain was I dropped that hammer and fell to my knees and I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me to never do that again."
Yeah.
And those men all standing around me, I expected them to laugh me to scorn and thought you was a Christian, all that stuff. Those men had more respect for me from that day on than they did before.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
They knew you were real.
You're going to make mistakes.
That's what I was thinking. They saw a real
Christian
witness. They saw you repent for what you had done.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
A real witness is what's needed today.
Yes, it is.
I want to tell you, as your pastor, you're going to make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
But when you make mistakes, don't laugh it off.
No.
When you make mistakes, own up to it.
Right. Yes.
You know, it don't hurt a bit. Just, Lord, I'm sorry. Failed you again. I'm sorry. I messed up again. I went somewhere I shouldn't have went. Done something I shouldn't have did. Said something I shouldn't have said. Own up to it. Let me give you an even better example. David, he messed up bad. And, when he messed up, he fessed up. He confessed in Psalms 51. And he had took a man's wife. He had committed adultery with this man's wife. Then he had him killed and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He took his wife Bathsheba. And he hadn't really confessed until Nathan confirmed him about it. And then when he realized, that he hadn't confessed about it, he'd done the right thing. And here's what David said: "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." You want to get God's attention, or you want to appeal to the heart of God, you do it in a humbling way like he did here.
That's right.
He said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." He's acknowledging that he has sinned from mine iniquity, and "cleanse me from my sin." Now verse 3, "For I acknowledge..." See, he's not in denial. He's not making an excuse.
Right.
He's not laughing it off. "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me."
Right.
Now, he gets even more specific in verse 4. "Against thee," he said, "I sinned against you."
Mm-hmm.
You remember that prodigal son? "I've sinned against heaven and against thee." He said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." You know, he made it clear. He wanted to confess. He wanted to be forgiven.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that God can take away our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember what verse I was on there. I have to admit, I enjoyed that. But I'll just go verse 30. "Have obtained mercy through their unbelief." You know, through the Jews falling away, we got in. And verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that this is the verse, that, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. How important it is to be real, to be true, to walk in the light, as He's in the light. You know, people are watching.
Yes, they are.
They're actually wanting to find something real. They're looking for a real preacher. And I say this with charity. I told y'all a while back, so many preachers are leaving the ministry.
Oh my goodness.
For moral failures.
Yes.
One of my good friend, great preacher, prayed for him all the time, made a terrible mistake, and he's out of church right now. And a great man of God, lost his family, lost his ministry. I'm praying he'll get back in church, get a Bible back in his hand, get back to praying, teaching and preaching. But you know, God, He's the only one, buddy, that can... Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain. Psalms 127, verse 1. But I'm praying for him. I'd like to see him. Let me run to this verse real quick here.
Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
Thinking about being the real deal or the real thing.
Yeah.
That's an awesome responsibility because you are representing.
Right. To whom much is given, much is required.
Representing the Lord and Savior and Jesus Christ. And you may be the only real thing some people may encounter. You're not.
Exactly right.
There's probably a lot of people went to hell because someone wouldn't live right and do right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get to it here in a minute.
While you're looking that up, you mentioned preachers and churches and my brother's church over in Hartford, he called me yesterday, and their pastor quit their church yesterday.
Mm.
And his name is Jackie, so when we pray, we just need to call his name. I don't know the name of the church. I've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
But we just need to call. We'll just call Jackie's name out to the Lord, I guess. And
amen.
They need a pastor in that church bad right now. So.
Lord, we want to pray right now, Lord, for the church. We want to pray for Jackie. Lord, we know, Lord, that this world, Lord, is taking its toll on men of God.
Yes.
Lord, they're just men of like passion, Lord, frail. Lord, need the help of God. We pray for Jackie. Pray for that church. Pray, Lord God, you'd send them and him both help. Lord, we pray, Lord God, you'd help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, we just pray, God, for your help. We thank you for all you've already done and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Yes.
He said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And, you know, people make mistakes. The best thing you can do is be a good Samaritan. Don't go this way. Don't go that way. And use some wisdom here. Use some discernment here. Don't put yourself in a predicament here. Nothing else, pray for them.
Right.
If you can, do anything to help them, help them.
Right.
All right.
Brother Wade used to
talk
about when you bowed on your knees right there in the factory. There is so many people are ashamed, I guess.
Yes, that's a good
so
word.
So many people are ashamed not to show their self of what a Christian should be.
You know, Jesus.
Or they're thinking, what would those people say? You know, something. You know, I don't worry about that.
True.
If I'm at a place And you know, and I say amen or something, yeah. People look at me like I'm crazy. Amen,
Sister Carol.
That don't bother me.
That's all right.
That just keeps me. I mean, but there are so many people out there that are ashamed.
Ashamed. I think we need to raise the bar, set the standard high as we can set it.
Yes.
And you know, the world's in need of that.
Right.
They're not seeing what they need. Right. They're seeing what they don't need. And it's taking its toll.
I tried to explain to my brother last night when Brother Mark left us over here. You know, Brother Mark was sick. He didn't have any other choice but to do what he did. And I knew that, you know. But that left us without a leader. And I brought guys in here, people in here, and Carolyn even helped. She knew some people, and they just wasn't satisfied with just anybody. I went home one Sunday, I was ready to throw the towel in. I said, "Oh Lord, I know this doors is going to close up, and we worked too hard to get this started."
Bless you, brother. Yeah.
Here's Brenda back here. Her husband put his place up for this place. I put my place up for this thing. Jerry Smith, laying up on the hill up there, put his place up. James Madison, I think he put his place up. I'm not sure. I got the paperwork at home. But there are several people put their place up so we could get this place and worship God.
Amen.
And I was so afraid that the doors was going to close up, and I didn't know what was going to happen to it when it did.
Yeah.
I went home and I got in my bedroom, and I tell you, I never cried so hard.
Bless you, buddy.
And begged God so much in my life. When I come out of there, Karen said, "Boy, you got a problem, ain't you?" I said, No, our church has a problem. I don't have a problem. I'm just trying to reach God to get." I didn't ask for a pastor. I asked for a shepherd.
Right.
It's exactly what I asked for. I said, "Lord, we don't need a pastor. We can find somebody to come in here and pastor us. We need a shepherd, somebody that will love us and lead us and guide us." And I don't know, it was a week probably, and Brother Eddie called and said, "I understand y'all looking for a pastor."
Somebody gave me a phone number.
Yeah, and I said, you know, and, I told him, "You know what, we're not looking for a pastor." Didn't I tell you that? I said, "We're looking for a shepherd." He said, "I'm one of the best you ever seen."
Well, I know I didn't say that, because I won't say that right now.
I
will tell you this.
I am
a shepherd and a pastor, and that's by the doing of God. I've been a street preacher.
Of a shepherd.
I've been a street preacher, rough as John Baptist kind of preaching. And then I got my first church up in Columbia, Kentucky, also by a phone number. Brother Rex Wheeler gave me a phone number up there, and Brother David Lowe gave me the phone number to this church. Both of them said, "Brother Eddie, I believe you need to call this number. You need to look into this." Both of those men, I'd done Rex Wheeler's funeral. But anyway, when I went up there to the church in Columbia, I got behind the pulpit, I was amazed at how God showed me immediately how much He loved His people.
Yeah.
That got me, I mean, it got me big time.
Yeah.
And He revealed to me just how much He loved His people. That had an effect on me. Even today, it has an effect on me. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to read the verse right here. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom, the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." God loves His people.
Right.
And the depth of that love cannot be understood. And God included us in His plans. We didn't deserve to be included, but He included us anyway. And I can't really put it in context that His ways are past finding out. Just like Brother Ed said, he prayed and God sent, and I am glad to be your pastor. I have no desire to be anywhere than right here.
Thank you.
I'm not looking to make a name for Eddie Wade. I'm not looking for great recognition or great wealth. I'm just looking to do the job God called me to do, to hear the words one day, "Well done, you've been faithful over little." I'd rather be faithful over little than have the headache of having more than I've got grace to say over. I sent y'all all a card. I pray for y'all all. Call your name out to God. It's easy to pastor a little church because there's just so few names to remember,
yeah.
So few things to do, but I'm convinced also that we're not going to stay a little church.
No,
I guess I'll grow with you, amen.
Brother Eddie, have you noticed we're growing in numbers?
Yeah.
But most importantly, we're growing in spiritually.
Amen.
And that's why we're growing in numbers.
Yeah. Amen, Sister Bonnie.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. This church has got everything it needs to grow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
I would like to share, as she said, that the church is growing. I would like to give Bonnie praise.
Yeah, every church needs a Bonnie.
Because of three ladies that I cling for.
Yeah.
She sent cards, and they sat and they read them, and they cried.
Amen.
They said, y'all don't know us
from
nobody, but y'all are good Christian people. You got the Holy Spirit, and they're all Christians that I cling for.
Yes.
And they said, we just cannot believe how y'all think so much of us, and you don't even know us.
Amen.
And I said, well, that's what God's people are supposed to do.
She's right.
Yeah.
And you know, this little church does a lot for a little church.
Yes,
it does.
Yes,
I mean to tell you, I'm proud of everything I see here, and I know it's a product of prayer, but I thank God for this little church. It's free to operate and free to work, free to do the things, you know, that big church struggle to do. We're free to be able to do them with ease. And we're going to try to finish this chapter out. I notice the time's getting the best of us back there. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Can you imagine trying to give God advice or wisdom? I mean, it'd be like Lucy trying, and I'm sure she does, trying to tell Sarah what she needs to do, like about cooking or cleaning or stuff like that. That's kind of the way it would be if we tried to tell God, Lord, you're not doing this right. You need to do it this way. And who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? I couldn't give God anything other than my heart. And he did say, give me thine heart. I did give him my heart.
Yeah.
But God's not indebted to me at all. I'm telling you right now, I'm indebted to him. He gave me everything,
Lord.
I got.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
68 years ago, he gave me my first breath. And I'm still breathing today. 68 years ago, maybe even further than that, my first heartbeat. All my members, he wrote in a book. He numbered them. Anyway, verse 36, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Boy, Paul has got the pen of God right there.
Amen.
Listen to this verse. For of him, talking about God, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever.
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad I got included.
Amen. Amen.
I wasn't excluded.
That's right.
I got invited.
That's right. Amen.
I got in the beloved.
Yeah.
He's my father now.
Yes, right. He is.
Heaven's my home now.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And it was all through him.
Amen.
Well, that's more like almost like preaching message there.
Yes.
But we'll stop right there. Romans chapter 11. We'll start next Sunday on Romans chapter 12.
When you took that deep breath of air right there, remind me, I read a thing on this on Facebook on this thing. An 83-year-old man got COVID when he went to the hospital, and they had to put him on a ventilator. And so when he got better and he got ready to go home, they handed him the bill.
Did you say something?
And he started crying. And a doctor was in there, and he said, oh, don't cry. He said, we can help you pay this bill, you know, just pay it a little at a time. He said, I'm not crying about the money. He said, I've got plenty of money. I can pay it off. He said, I'm crying because y'all charged me an ungodly price for air that God's given me free for 83 years.
Yeah, a lot of truth in that statement,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, a lot of truth in it.
All right.
I'm so glad.
Well, we're going to.